Sermon series here on embracing the characteristics of God, embracing God in our lives. Last week I asked you if you ever wondered what makes people tick. Ever wonder what makes yourself tick? This week I'm thinking along the lines of what makes my Christianity tick? What gets me going as a Christian? I want to turn your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And just think about those this week. Starting next week, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 for the next 6 or 7 weeks after that. So if you want to start studying Romans chapter 12, go right ahead and start doing it. A lot of interesting things in that one little chapter. We attended two memorial services this week. They were both for persons of influence. One due to position, as a professor, had influenced a lot of people in music and in life. I think it spoke well of the gentleman's life. There were well over 400 people at his funeral. A lot of former students. A man of great influence. The other, I say this just not in any derogatory way, was a regular person. No high standard in life. No place where they would have been in contact with literally hundreds of people over the years, but a person with a lot of friends that had influenced many people with her lifestyle, with her friendliness, with her helpfulness, with the way that she overcame obstacles in her life. They were both encouraging people who also happened to be strong Christians. As I sat and listened to all that was shared about each of them, the thought crossed my mind, what do I want to be remembered for? We're all people of influence. What do I want my influence to accomplish? We can all influence other people towards good or towards not so good. It's a huge responsibility that God has put in us as His people that we're called on to share the good news of the gospel. I've had the thought this week a number of times as a Christian, I absolutely need to reflect the characteristics of God towards others in my daily life. And the only way I can do that is to embrace His characteristics on a daily basis. Over these next 7 or 8 weeks, I hope you'll join me in exploring some of these characteristics and embrace them in your lives. I begin today by looking at the Beatitudes. They're found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10, and then on down to verse 11, just for some coverage there, and then on down a little bit further in that chapter. They talk about spiritual greatness. Blessed are those who go after Christian principles. We will inherit the kingdom of God. We will be comforted. We will inherit the earth. We will be filled. We will obtain mercy. We will see God. We will be honored by being called children of God. And we will have a great reward in heaven. Now, I want to put a big note here. These are not telling us how to become a Christian. They're telling us what a Christian looks like and how they act. We become a Christian by allowing Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins by inviting us in. And then we begin to take on His characteristics and embrace those from our lives. This is what a Christian looks like and what a Christian acts like. There are four things that jump out at me here in these Beatitudes especially that has a lot to do with who I am and how we influence other people. I look at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yesterday, as we sat in the funeral service, I was sitting between Marcy and Jennifer over there at College Church, and all of a sudden, I could hear my stomach growling. I had eaten a real... Did you hear a growling yesterday? I thought she had, but she was laughing. I mean, it was really playing a tune. It was rumbling. And I thought, boy, I had eaten a big breakfast, but then we went shopping and we went some more shopping and then we rushed to the funeral service and I was getting ready to do almost anything for a sandwich. I was trying to think, do I even have a breakfast bar in my coat pocket? No, I don't. I'm looking through everything. No breakfast bars. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I was getting ready to do anything for a sandwich. Now, we were not planning to go to the funeral dinner. And I thought, well, maybe we should sneak in there anyhow. And I mean, I was getting desperate. And as soon as that funeral was over, I should have followed Jennifer out the door. She left. But Marcy said, I want to go talk to so-and-so and so-and-so. A lot of people from the Holy Land had come down for this funeral. It was for a former neighbor of ours who had moved down here shortly before we had. So there were some people we wanted to see. And so we're back in the fellowship area where they had food, and it was smelling good. And people keep saying, oh, why don't you stay and eat with us? No, we've got a lot to do yet today. The plan was just to grab something on the run. I'll tell you what, I would have done anything to have sat down to a plate of food right at that very moment. And I had in my mind what I wanted to eat. And as we left the church, Marcy said, let's go through Wendy's and get some of their chili. That sounds good today. Well, you know, being a husband, I agreed with my wife. But I would have just died for just a good, thick, juicy sandwich at that point, or a steak, or a piece of chicken, or something. I was hungry. I wanted to take care of that hunger. It was about 1 o'clock before I actually got my hunger taken care of, and it felt so good, so satisfying to actually sit down and eat that bowl of chili from Wendy's. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we would do almost anything to have God come and fill us with His Holy Spirit and make us holy and perfect and pure before Him, what does the Bible say? We will be filled. When you hunger for God, when you really go after everything that He has, the promise says, you will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. You'll be filled with all of God. You'll be filled with His holiness. You'll be filled with His purity. You'll be filled with His love. But you have to go after it. I look at verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful. I've really thought long and hard about this merciful one this week. How do I deal with the shortcomings and the weaknesses of other people and the things they do that really get under my skin? How am I in the forgiveness area for things that happen in relationships? I every once in a while I'll come across somebody that I knew back in a former life, you know, years ago. And it might be somebody that offended me in some way, or somebody that I knew something about it. And I have to remember the only way that I'm going to have God is if I have mercy towards those other folks and I go the second mile with them. I give them a second chance. I take the attitude that maybe God has gotten hold of them and changed them. Because the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, what goes around comes around. If I want people to have another chance with me, if I want people to give me the benefit of the doubt, I better be doing the same thing for other people. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. What makes me tick? What are my intentions? How much of what I do is out of love, and how much of it is out of a controlling spirit, wanting my own way, retaliation? I can make mistakes, but my intentions can be pure and holy. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I can't see God without having my heart pure, because God's holy. You must be holy to come into God's presence. And then verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. I know some folks, I think they just go around causing chaos for the pleasure of it. It just seems like there's some people that you just know that everywhere they go, they cause an uproar. I don't understand it, but there's some people like that. I've stopped and asked myself a question. Do I have heart attacks or do I give them? Well, so far I haven't had any, and I would hope that I'm not giving them to anybody else with my attitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, let me be a peacemaker, for they will be called sons of God, children of God, taking on the characteristics of God. I look at this whole thing and I realize that as I deal with other people, as I allow God to work in my life, my influence can affect other people. Do I want other people to look at me and say, that's what a Christian looks like? I want that. Or do I sometimes just so discourage people that they just simply want to give up and go hide somewhere and run away and never have another thing to do with God? I look on down here in this chapter of Matthew and I start finding some things that really talk about our influence. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. I've thought about this salt thing. Salt is added to food for flavor. I picked up a piece of ham at home the other day. I asked Marcy, I said, how old is this and should I be eating it? She said, well, it's about a month old. No, it wasn't that old. It was less than 2 weeks old, like maybe just over a week old. And she said, but ham is cured with salt. And that makes it last longer. I got to thinking about this salt thing. What do we do with salt? We're from the Detroit, Michigan area, and there was a huge salt mines under that area. I did some research on it. I knew my parents had gone on a tour down there one time, and my mom talked about how amazing the salt mine was. She said, you didn't feel closed in at all, even though it was 1,200 feet underground, because it had these big, huge, high ceilings and these big, huge rooms that were pure white from the salt. 1,500 acres under parts of the southwest Detroit. 100 miles of roads down there. And what as I found is not only do they produce a product that made food taste better, they also make a product from that thaws the ice on the roads in the winter. You are the salt of the earth. I've thought about that and I thought, salt makes my food taste better. If I am the salt of the earth, then I need to make people have a good taste in their mouth towards Christianity. Think about that for just a minute. I had the thought of salt can thaw out the ice on the roads. Through my love that God has put into our lives, we need to thaw out that tough exterior on people that turns them away from God. We are the salt of the earth. I also came across another thing that I had never thought about before. Salt mines are perfectly clean. Rodents cannot live in a salt mine. There's nothing there for them to eat unless a worker would have happened to have left a part of his lunch behind, which they were very careful not to do. I'm the salt of the earth. The Bible says righteousness, pure in heart, should be my lifestyle. If my lifestyle is really clean, nothing impure can be there. I should be able to express God's love around to everybody. As a Christian with an influence, I'm to thaw out the coldness of the world. I'm to give them a reason for tasting Christianity and show a purity in the process. But then the Bible goes on down here in verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a candle and hide it. You light up the area around you. Shortly after we moved here, I had reason to be out in the country one night late. I did not realize how flat the land was around here. I keep telling people I can go stand on a pop can in my backyard and see downtown Chicago and see the Arch in St. Louis at the same time as I turn around. I'm just not used to this flat land. I did not grow up on flat land. It's flat here. We were way out in the country, I think out about where you guys. In fact, I think it was the night we moved you to the house you're in now, a bunch of us. And I kept seeing this light in the distance, and I thought, what in the world is that? Dave, it was the high-rise down here where you live. Saw from way out the, almost to St. Anne. I mean, the land is flat around here. You cannot hide the big buildings. I shared a story a few weeks ago as we were coming out of Moments Light one night. I'm seeing this bright light, and I'm thinking, what is it? It was the new lights on the CSL Berry new building. I mean, it's flat around here. You can see 12, 13, 14 miles away. You cannot hide it. If we really have the light of God in our lives, it's not going to be hidden. It's going to be seen by everybody. The Bible says, when you got the spiritual goods, you are the light of the world. Don't put it under a bushel basket. Allow it to be seen. Light up the area all around you. What does that say to me? Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. Well, there's a lot of people in the world that have good deeds. I've noticed a lot of that lately on the news where people will go and help somebody who's in trouble, where people will just go out there and just be there when somebody really needs them. You don't have to be a Christian to go out and help somebody else. Just out of the goodness of your heart, you can go out and help somebody. But the Bible is very specific here. It says, let your light, your spiritual light shine. Don't do it for a pat on the back. Don't do it for any other reason other than the fact that God is leading you to do these things. Let your light shine before men for one simple reason, that they may be able to praise your Father in heaven. It says it right there, that they may see your good deeds and that they may praise your Father in heaven. I think we need to be the right person in the right place a lot of times to help somebody out because God has sent us there. I was thinking about Tom's situation this week. Carol called me Monday afternoon. I got to get Tom to the hospital. Can you help me? No, I can't. I'm in Chicago. Driving in that horrible rain, I'd have rather been here. But I was in Chicago picking Lee and Debbie up. Several other people they called, out of town, and various things going on, emergencies going on. I think Nancy was at the hospital with Gretchen already. It was impossible. Right person, right place, right time to give them the encouragement they needed. See, that's if I'm the light to the world, I need to allow God to work through me to encourage others around me. And that can only happen as I embrace Christianity, as I embrace Him totally in my life. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and they themselves will praise your Father in heaven. My true influence comes from embracing the ways of God in my home, in my church, in the world around me, as I go out to restaurants, in relationships I have, as I deal with business things all over the place. And that just simply tells me over and over and over and over again, I need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. And that only happens is I allow God to take over and I embrace that Christianity.